In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning picks up where we left off in our study of the book of Ruth. We'll begin reading in verse 6 and read all the way down through verse 7. Our passage this morning will cover verse 7. Hear now the word of God. So the young servant boy who watched over the reapers answered and said, "She is a young Moabite woman who returned with my pleasant one from the fields of Moab. And she said to me, 'Please let me be a gleaner and gather among the stalks behind the reapers.' And thus she went and has remained from the morning until now, except for this short break under the shelter." Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your word. May we receive it with joy. May you, with your grace and by your Holy Spirit, write this word on our heart that we may come to demonstrate in our lives and in our thoughts and our emotions, that we may demonstrate the purpose for which you breathed out this portion of your word to us and preserved it for us down through the ages. May we be good stewards, rejoicing to hear our Father's word through the pages of Scripture. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our text this morning continues our study of the book of Ruth. Notice the story so far. Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem destitute. Therefore, Ruth goes out to the field to try and glean, maybe better scavenge, grain for her and Naomi to eat. However, gleaning is not safe, especially for a woman, and especially when that woman is a foreigner. Therefore, Ruth promises Naomi to get permission from any landowner before she gleans on his land. Not only that, she also promises to glean behind, to go last in the gleaning line, to glean behind all the native gleaners so as not to present them with competition or cause resentment. While gleaning, Ruth inadvertently wanders into a field where she does not have permission to glean. That field just happens to belong to Boaz, a relative of Naomi's deceased husband. In the meantime, Boaz arrives from town, sees an unknown woman in his field and thinks that she is some greedy landowner's servant who was sent to take grain from his field. Therefore, he is poised and ready to have her run off. However, before he does, he asks the young servant who is in charge of watching over his field who she is and why she's on his land. In our text this morning, the young field watcher continues his report to Boaz. Not only that, If our passage last week provided a picture of who Boaz is, a genuine follower of Yahweh, if that's what we were doing last week, then every detail of our passage this morning provides a picture of who Ruth is. And so we need to stop and slow down a little bit to make sure. I mean, the whole book's named after Ruth. And so maybe we ought to pay attention to who this young lady is. And so every detail here is giving us a picture. Listen. And she said to me, "Please let me be a gleaner and gather among the stalks behind the reapers." Notice at once, after the young watcher explains to Boaz who Ruth is, that was back in verse 6, he now goes on to report what Ruth requested. Notice in the watcher reports that when he confronted Ruth for being in his master's field, that she was neither insolent nor veiled in her reply. Instead, she was polite and forthcoming. First, she tells the watcher exactly who she is, which is how he knows the information that he gave to Boaz back in verse 6. How does the watcher know that she's a Moabite that's come with Naomi? Because that's what she tells him. Not only that, in turn, she politely asks permission to continue gleaning in the field. And we hear her say, "Please allow me, please let me to continue to glean and I'll go behind the reapers." This is important. Why? Because Ruth's transparency and demeanor reveal a purity of heart that has nothing to conceal. I think this is important. Every detail here is being provided to give us a picture of Ruth. And notice that Ruth doesn't have anything to conceal. She doesn't try to hide the fact that she is a Moabite. She doesn't try to lie or cover it up. Not only that, she doesn't get defensive when questioned what she's doing in the field. And this openness, this forthrightness, this having nothing to hide shows that there is a purity of heart. In other words, in Ruth, we see a moral security and a moral security and a strength of character. Okay? She's not trying to hide anything. She's not being defensive. She's not pushing away. Instead, there is a moral security and strength. And I would tell you that this moral strength and security comes because she is a child of God. She's a child of Yahweh. Not only that, she's in that field trying to help another child of Yahweh, her mother-in-law, Naomi. Not only that, she's among God's people in God's land. And so there's a security that comes from knowing that God is with you and that you are with God. That what you are doing to the best of your ability is walking in a manner that's pleasing to God. You're doing the sort of things that God would have you to do. And so in Ruth, we see this purity of heart, this moral security, and this strength of character. Next notice that Ruth goes on to say that she will gather among the stalks behind the reapers. Well, notice the point of this. To gather among the stalks behind the reapers is the standard expected practice of gleaning. Okay? It is the very thing that God commands landowners in the law to allow not only citizens of his land to do, but any foreigner and especially widows. Okay, so this is a right that's commanded, that's given, okay, that they will be given the right to go behind the reapers and glean from the stalks. In other words, Ruth does not offer some extraordinary condition or self-restriction in order to gain permission to glean. She's not trying to cut a deal. Instead, what she is doing here is assuring the watcher that she will adhere to the proper protocol for gleaning. That she's going to do exactly what she's supposed to do. In other words, she is not going to cause trouble in the field, and she is not going to try and snatch more than is allotted to a gleaner. She's sitting there, and she's assuring him that she's going to do exactly what a gleaner should do. Notice then the result. Ruth's approach is not only polite, it's also wise, right? Her intent is to put the watcher's mind at ease so that she can continue gleaning. And notice that how she approaches it absolutely works. Her approach works. She's not only someone of a pure heart and open, she's also, we see that she's wise. And this is important. Notice the picture of Ruth that her simple request provides. Notice when we stop and listen to Scripture, pay attention to Scripture, think through before Scripture, notice what we begin to see about Ruth, which is the whole point of the author telling us this. We've already seen her purity of heart and her wisdom, but notice what else this request shows her. First of all, you can hear the difficulty that Ruth has faced by gleaning last in line, as well as the near desperation in her voice when she's confronted by the young field worker. Thus, notice she does not simply apologize for her mistake and then return to her original field. Oh, I'm sorry, I better head back. That's not what she does. Instead, she almost pleads with the watcher to allow her to continue gleaning there. Why? Gleaning last in line provides such a scant amount of grain that Ruth needs to cover as many fields as she possibly can just to get a little, right? And so you can all, please allow me, please let me continue gleaning here, okay? So remember what's going on here. Ruth is going to glean so that she and Naomi can have enough food simply to survive. That's what's going on. But there's more to it. She's also there so that she and Naomi do not have to undergo the humiliation of having to beg for their food. So Ruth is gone so that they can provide for themselves, and also so that especially Naomi can be considered a competent and respecting member of the society. And so notice then when Ruth looks up and sees the field watcher coming, she knows there's a very likely possibility that he's going to throw her out of the field, right? And so in her voice, please allow me, in her voice you can hear that she has the weight of the whole world on her shoulders as she makes this request. And yet, again, we see that wisdom. She doesn't panic. She doesn't become defensive or belligerent. Instead, she answers with a confidence, with a moral security, and with wisdom. And so what I would like to point out is that this is a picture of what it means to be a strong woman. Okay? It's not the garbage that you see on Netflix. It's not the garbage that you see in the female heroes presented in on Marvel Comics movies or in the heroines in the recent Star Wars movies. Okay? It's not someone who is going out to try to prove that she doesn't need anyone. She can do it all on her own. And that she's going to put her career and her wants before and go first before anybody else. That's not strength. That's not being a strong anything. That is being selfish. And it's a moral defect, and it's what winds you up lonely, unhappy, miserable, and by yourself, okay? Ruth is nothing like that. She's not in the field furthering her own career or proving that she doesn't need anybody. She's in the field serving Naomi. She's in the field self-sacrificing, facing danger and humiliation and difficulty for the betterment of someone else. Okay, and this is what it means. But it's not just a picture of what it means to be a strong biblical woman. I don't think Ruth is a book that's for, you know, female Bible study. Instead, this is simply what it looks like to be a person of strong character regardless. It's a model for both men and women, young and old, that here we are following God, standing with God, serving others, even when it's hard, not just thinking about ourselves. Okay, it's this beautiful picture of what it means to be a person, a person of character, a child of God. Second, her request shows us her true priorities in faith. Did you notice that? Notice then that Ruth is not bitter about her low station or the difficulty that it has involved her in. As such, she is not belligerent in her response to the watcher who is just a kid. Here comes some goofy kid that could upend everything, okay? She's not belligerent. She's not bitter about what the cards that life has dealt her. Instead, Ruth understands that her situation is what it is, and therefore she is diligently working to make the best of it. She doesn't let go and let God. She's not just resigned to the. She's out trying diligently to make the best of what's going on. Now, the question is, how do we get from her not being bitter and being diligent to a picture of her true priorities and her true faith? Well, the reason is because, remember, this is why we preach through books of Scripture, because God has told us things that He expects us to remember and to bring forward because they're going to be important for the next things that He tells us, right? And so notice then, remember, Ruth knew what she was getting into when she followed Naomi. She knew exactly what she was getting into. She knew that her social station would be low and that her life would be extremely hard. And in fact, Naomi, remember when Naomi's trying to convince her daughter-in-laws to go back home and not follow her? Okay, she gives an exhausted detail why life is going to be so hard if they go with her. Ruth goes into this with eyes wide open. However, to Ruth, Naomi and Naomi's God are worth all the sacrifice. To Ruth, she has gained far more than she has lost. Therefore, in place of bitterness, we see a quiet acceptance and diligence. Simply put, Ruth's attitude throughout the entirety of verse 7 points to the true grounding of her heart. She has gained Yahweh, and has and the continuing fellowship of the mother of her faith, Naomi. And those two things are worth anything she's had to trade and to gain them. Okay? She's gained far more. She's gained Yahweh, and she gets to stay with and fellowship with the mother of her faith. Finally, Ruth's request points to her character. Notice that Ruth gets permission to glean and then goes last in line. In other words, Ruth does exactly what she promised Naomi that she would do, even though Naomi is not there to watch her, and even though what Ruth has promised makes her work so much harder going last. Well, Naomi's not there. How would Naomi know? Notice we see Ruth's character, because even when no one's watching, she does exactly what she promised. This is so important, because at once verse 7 reminds me that the book of Ruth is not a romance novel. It's not a book of flat stock characters. Instead, it's a book that shows us the depth of real people who are facing real situations. Not only that, the book also shows us the very real way that God works in the real circumstances that his people are facing. People just like you and me. That said, like Naomi and Ruth, we may not always recognize God's hand when it's at work in our life. But one thing is crystal clear throughout the book of Ruth. God is never not at work in his children's life. Not their lives, not your lives, not then, not now. God is always at work. He never abandons his people. Listen. And thus she went and has remained from the morning until now. Next notice the field watcher tells Boaz, and thus she went. However, please note the watcher's main point here is not to confirm that Ruth went into the field. Boaz can see for himself that Ruth went into the field. That's the whole thing that started this whole conversation. Boaz sees an unknown woman in his field and says, "Who is that?" Or more appropriately, "To whom does she belong?" Right? Instead, the watcher's point is to convey to his master, who might be angry that she is there or concerned that she might cause problems, that these are the terms by which he granted her entrance into Boaz's field. In other words, he assures his master that it was thus, on these terms, that he allowed her to go into the field. And thus she went. These are the terms that she was granted access and permission to go into your field. At the same time, the phrase also conveys a strong sense of manner. In other words, the field watcher reports to his master that not only were these the terms under which she was granted permission, but also that thus, in this manner, she has conducted herself while in the field. These are the terms she went, and this is exactly how she has behaved while she's been in the field. And this is so important because, first of all, the field watcher's report demonstrates to Boaz that his servant has done his job with thorough competence. This is a report that Boaz can trust. That's going to be important, right? Thus, he has not just let anyone in the field for any old reason. Instead, the field watcher has verified this lady's identity and was satisfied with the propriety of her request. The result is that the field watcher's diligence not only demonstrates his own fitness to Boaz, he has done right by his master, this is a trustworthy report, it also, listen to me, establishes the case for Ruth's legitimacy. Okay? So you understand what's happening. The author is showing you a picture of Ruth because he's allowing us to listen in on that very picture that God was showing to Boaz. Okay? The thoroughness of this young man's report has established the case, has provided a picture that shows the legitimacy of Ruth. In other words, God has this one nameless teenage boy exactly where he needs to be. Not only that, the lad does exactly what he needed to do. Simply put, even though no one in the account can see it yet, God's hand is directly at work in the very details of his people's life. And remember what's at stake here. It's not just Ruth and Naomi's deliverance. If the young worker messes up, if he's negligent, if Boaz runs Ruth off, Then not only does the story of Ruth and Naomi not exist at all in the Bible, because there would be no point to it, okay? But remember, the Davidic dynasty disappears because it is what's being established here through these actions. And not just the Davidic dynasty, the very line through which the Messiah comes, right? He will sit on his father David's throne and his kingdom will have no end. Okay, you get that in verse 6 and 7? The whole of redemptive history hangs in the balance, and on the front line is a teenage boy? But God hasn't prepared. He's heard Ruth's story. Okay, he's diligent in what he does. And his competence and thoroughness shows Boaz that the report that he's giving is trustworthy. And God has exactly who he needs and the exact place where he needs them. Amen? And thus she went and has remained from morning until now, except for this short break under the shelter. Next, notice the servant goes on to add that Ruth has remained there all day from morning until now. In other words, the field watcher assures his master that Ruth is not a miscreant who just showed up to get a bite to eat and has been just delinquent. Instead, she arrived in the morning like an industrious laborer and has been diligently working without trouble all day. Importance. This is important. Why? Because this additional information not only further assures Boaz of Ruth's legitimacy, it also shows him her character and her commitment to Naomi. Ruth has been working hard all day simply to help her mother-in-law. Gone through the danger that we're going to see as we go on. Gone through the humiliation of gleaning last. Just to help her mother-in-law. Finally, notice the field worker tells Boaz that Ruth has been dutifully at work all day, except for this short break that she is now taking under the shade shelter. So they had a shelter there, so the workers should sit under it, take a break, and it would be in the shade, right? Okay? So why is that an important detail? What? Okay, except for this short break. Is it just a local color? I think it's really, really significant for two reasons. The first one is this. However, please note, while this information that she's just for this one break, while this information certainly further demonstrates Ruth's work ethic, I think its main purpose is to discreetly assure Boaz, who has arrived to find this woman sitting under the worker's shelter, that this single, widowed, married-age woman is not a prostitute or some floozy who is conspicuously hanging around the workers' camp. Remember, this takes place in the book of Judges. It was a Wild West. Okay? Why would she be... Remember the term hooker? Remember where that came from? Because the women would follow General Hooker's armies. They were Hooker's girls. Okay? Okay, so you're having gleaning, and so what's a great place for hookers to show up, I guess, at gleaning? Okay, that's what she's doing. I mean, that's what this young man is doing. He's assuring Boaz that she's not a prostitute. She's been at work except for this short break that she's now taking. Notice the result. Bit by bit, God has removed any hesitation that Boaz might have about Ruth. Not only that, and maybe more importantly, God has presented a picture to Boaz and to us who are allowed to listen in on this conversation through the pages of Scripture. God has presented a picture of a woman of incredible character and merit. One last point. Notice the extraordinary hand of God's quiet provision. Did you see it? Remember, I told you that shelter thing was important? Okay? It is. Notice God's hand of quiet provision. First, the fact that Ruth is sitting under the shade shelter when Boaz arrives may explain why she is noticed by Boaz at all. Okay, think about it. If Ruth were way out in the field, she probably would not have been that easily spotted. And if Boaz doesn't notice her, the story ends. Right? Likewise, the fact that she is a new face probably would not have been immediately recognized. In other words, God has Ruth take a break at the exact time that she needs to. That is, God has her take a break at the very time when a man who she doesn't even know exists. Remember, Naomi's going to have to explain that to her later, who this Boaz is and why he's important. Okay? God has Ruth take a break at the very time when a man she doesn't even know exists just happens to drop by his field to check on his workers. Bottom line, the young field watcher concludes his report to Boaz. Afterwards, his master is silent and his face is stern as he ponders what he has been told and what he should do next. So is this it? Is Boaz simply going to give a nod of approval and then get back to more pressing matters with no further thought about Ruth? Or is the deliverance of Yahweh brewing even now in the silent considerations of Boaz's heart and character? Remember, there's a reason we just saw Boaz's heart and character. The reason we were given a picture of that in our last passage. And now we see Ruth. And so what's going on? Is Yahweh's deliverance brewing even now in the silent considerations of Boaz's heart? Who knows? But what I can tell you is that this the suspense is killing me, right? And that's exactly where the author wants us to be. What's going to happen? Oh my gosh, it just barely worked out. A young kid and she just happened to be sitting there and get, oh, what? Is Boaz going to go, okay, that's great. Yeah, go on. And then what's going to happen? Well, who knows? But we are right where the author wants us to be, on the edge of our seats and completely drawn into the account. Unfortunately, for you and I, we're going to have to wait a bit before we find out just what it is that happens next. Amen?